Sunday, 21st of September, Kof Aleph Elul, Thursday, Slichus, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, Teshuvah that last.
Every day, throughout Chodesh Elul, we blow shofar after davening, kiyush from Truah and Kiyah. The Torah brings us the Makor for this, a Pirkei Reb Elezer. The Pirkei Reb Elezer says that at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when Klal Yisrael first were accepting the second luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to get those luchos, and there was a concern, he says, that maybe just like they served Avodah Zarah, the eagle, the first time, they were worried maybe when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the second time, Chas V'Shalom, the eagle will serve the eagle again, and therefore they blew a shofar at the beginning of Chodesh Elul, Moshe Olah Lahor. That's the Makor of Tkiyas Shofar, and the Bais Yosef adds, and as the Mashmat Shlitim in Pirkei Reb Elezer, there's another reason: Emi Toka Shofar Beir V'Ha'am Lo Yecherod. So one needs to know about the Yidden in the Midbar, and then he adds a pasuk: Emi Toka Shofar Beir V'Ha'am Lo Yecherod. And the shaila is: why was it necessary to have two reasons for Tkiyas Shofar? One is the fact that in the Midbar the Yidden blew shofar when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the Shamayim, and the second is if you talk a shofar to Irva Amle Yecharadu. The Bais Yosef there in the Torah asks this kasha, and one of his tirutzim is that there are two reasons for blowing shofar. The first reason is the reason taka because Klal Yisrael in the Midbar blew shofar, but that, says the Bais Yosef, is the reason shelo yechtu, that they shouldn't do Avodah Zarah, shouldn't serve Avodah Zarah. But there was another reason to get them to do tshuva. Now, do you hear that? Is that two reasons? Isn't that pretty much the same thing? They won't do Avodah like they used to. They won't do the egel again, which ends with tshuva on the egel, and also you need an extra pasuk for tshuva. Why do you need two separate makoros for what appears to be almost the same thing? I'd like to elaborate on this and try and clarify what exactly these two levels are, these two levels of shofar, and how they relate to us in our life. And let me start with a kasha of the Meshech Chochmah. Now, the truth is, Meshech Chochmah doesn't ask it as a kasha, but one thinks about it, it appears to be a kasha on Shittas HaRamban. The Ramban in Parshas Vayelech tells us that there is a mitzvah asay of tshuva. Doing tshuva is not just an opportunity. Doing tshuva is an obligation. A person who has a shalom has done an avera has a chiv to do tshuva. You might have read the pasuk v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha as a havtocha. You will ultimately return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the Ramban, v'shavta is not an havtocha, but v'shavta is a command, and you should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person distance himself rachman from an avera, come back v'shavta. If one looks at the Rambam, however, the Rambam doesn't list tshuva as a mitzvah essay. When the Rambam lists tshuva, he says the mitzvah essay is someone who's doing tshuva should say vidui. The vidui is a mitzvah, not the tshuva. And the shaila is, why not? How does the Rambam know that tshuva is not a mitzvah? Now you might say that he just holds that the pshat and the pasuk is slightly different to the Rambam, but the Meshech Chochmah says something more than that. So the Meshech Chochmah, and maybe dig it ahead. He says, do you need a mitzvah, a new mitzvah of the Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, to tell you that you need to do tshuva? A person, Rachman Lizlan, didn't have era last week, didn't have era last year, didn't have era in the past. And the shayla is he going to pull himself back and distance himself from the avera? Rachman Lizlan, take an example of Michal Shabbos. He's Michal Shabbos. And then he decides, that's it, Chas V'Shalom, from now on, he's not going to be Michal Shabbos. He does tshuva, and he closes his shop on Shabbos. If there wasn't a pasuk of tshuva, he wouldn't have to close his shop on Shabbos. Because he's been doing an Avera till now, he's allowed to continue. The same way Sasekol Malacha that told him not to do tshuva, not to do Chil Shabbos last week, tells him not to do Shabbos next, not to Chal Shabbos next week. You don't need a new posset to tell you to stop doing Averas. It's a posset. That's the Meshech Chochmah Ze'orah on the mitzvah of tshuva. So how can you say tshuva is a mitzvah? It wouldn't make sense. So therefore, al kol chok, the mitzvah is not the tshuva itself. The mitzvah is the vidui, which leaves us with the kasha l'chayra on the Ramban, because Ramban says the tshuva is a mitzvah. What do you need a mitzvah for if anyway I'm obligated not to do that again? I spoke Lashon Hara. Of course I've got to stop speaking Lashon Hara, because the Torah says, let's say the chok about that. It's an interesting kasha. because if one thinks about it, it's very schwer, it's very difficult to understand the Meshech Chochmas Kasha. And let's be, we'll call it a Yishuv on the Ramban, an explanation of how the Ramban understands the mitzvah of Tshuva. To understand the Meshech Chochmah would entail going into the Oymek and the Lomdus of Mitzvah Tshuva, which is not for today. Just like to hear simple Teretz L'Chaira to the Ha'ara of the Meshech Chochmah on the Ramban. How can the Ramban say there's a Mitzvah of Tshuva when anyway a Yid is obligated to stop doing Averus because of the Averus themselves? And the truth is, when we think about Tshuva, what are we thinking about? The past or the future? Well, the whole Chiddush of Tshuva, Emes, is not the future, the past. That's the whole sugya of Tshuva. Which means, when a person does something, Rachman Lutzan, he does an Avera, he spoke Lashon Hara. There's two issues. One issue is he going to stop speaking Lashon Hara in the future? You're right, says the Meshech Chochmah, why would you stop speaking Lashon Hara tomorrow? Because Torah says, they say lechorachil. You can't shepherd people because the lav of einoadvarim. We have to be honest in business because the lav of leisignoif. You don't need any new chiddushim for that. But what about yesterday? When a person commits an avera, there's something there that exists. That avera is there. The evil that it does to the world, the damage it does to his neshama, the effects on olam haSadiyam. There's no end to the effects of an avera. And when the reality of that avera is there, and a person looks back and sees it, he's faced with a phenomenal problem. You're right, I'm never going to do it again. But what about the mess I've left behind? And so that was Nischadish, a parasha of Tshuva, that a person is able to almost reach his hand into the past and change the past. And that is a new Chiddush. That we wouldn't know. That would, but for that, we need a pasuk. And for that, maybe we need a mitzvah. Because the mitzvah of all the other mitzvahs and averus tell us that we have to make sure we read Krishna Bismane, we have to daven like a mensch. That talks about the future. Mitzvahs don't tell you to go back and affect the past. That is a special mitzvah of tshuva. Memela, that would be the chiddush of the Ramban. Take, for example, a person who's passed his test and he's told he has to drive carefully, considerately, take care of the other road users. There are other users on the road. And he goes out and he's not so careful. And next thing you know, he has a crash. First crash, a few weeks later another crash, a few weeks later another crash, and eventually he realizes that it's not kedai. So he pulls himself together, and from now on he's going to drive like a perfect driver. He's tzaddik on the road, he's going to drive 30 miles an hour, he's going to just right, everything considerate, careful, the perfect driver tacker. Will he have any more crashes? Well, it depends on the drunken drivers, but chances are he won't have any more crashes. So from now on, in the future, he has no problems. But looking back, well, the bills for all those cars he smashed up are still there. The dents in his car are not removed by the fact that from now on he's not going to be reckless anymore. The future has been taken care of, but we still have an issue with the past. So there's two sugyas. There's taka the pashat tshuva of the Meshech Chochmah, which means when a person deals with his future, that I would call the heroes. The Masil Shisharim, at the beginning of the Sefer, has a whole Peretz few prokim devoted to the sugya of Zahirus, which means a person living up to his ideals, making sure that his life follows the pattern he wants it to follow. We all know what we want to become. We all have aspirations. We all have sheifas. But our practical life doesn't live up to it, so we have to make sure that we improve ourselves and we grow. That growth is Zahirus. Zerizus, growing and avoiding Averus, growing and doing it. That's nothing to do with truth, according to the Rambam. That's just living the life as he eats. There's another sugya, and that other sugya is, once a Chas V'Shalom person did the Avera, he has to look backwards into the past. Zerizus for the future, tshuva on the past. Zechira Yishuv on the Meshech Chochmas Kasha. But before we get back to the tour, let's just hear that lemaisa. It means that in life, every time something goes wrong, we are faced with two issues. A, the problem that we're faced with, the crash itself. B, that we've got to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Even if you're not a reckless driver, if you were involved in an accident, you thought you were driving carefully, the other person thinks he was driving carefully, and all of a sudden there's a crash. Happens once, a few weeks later you have another crash. If the third time, a few weeks after that you had a third crash, you'd be very concerned. You'd be concerned about the past, about the damage, about how you're going to pay those bills, but you'd be much more concerned about the future. If I've done this three times, if you Who knows? You know, maybe you see a doctor. Maybe there's something wrong with my concentration. Maybe my muscles are. Who knows? Maybe I have to take a new test. I obviously don't know how to drive as I'm crashing. Says Rahman al-Islam, a person finds that he missed Krishna once. A few months later, he missed Krishna again. He's got two issues on his hands. He's got the issue of those three missing Krishnas, which we know is Mu'uvas la yuchal iskin. It's a gap that you cannot fill again. Without a tremendous chiddush in the parasha of tshuva, which you need thinking about how on earth tshuva can replace the missing mitzvahs asay, that's one problem. He's got those gaps. But the other is, if it happened in the past, how do I know it won't happen in the future? A guy's producing machinery. He's on a machine, and his job is he's going to make watches. So he's producing watches, and he doesn't do them by hand, but pretty much they come off the conveyor belt. So he's in charge. That's his job, to make sure they come off. And he notices that a few of the watches have turned up and they're faulty. Maybe they're missing a minute hand. They only have an hour hand without a minute hand. It's worrying. What's the problem? Well, each of those watches is worth £120. He's got five that can't be sold. He's missing £600. That's a loss. That's issue number one. The other issue is, if five of them have come out that way, how do you know there won't be another five tomorrow and another five the day after? Maybe there's something wrong with the machinery. Maybe he's not typing in the right instructions. Who knows? He's got to think about the future as much as about the past. And even if there wasn't a parasha of tshuva, imagine there was no such thing. And you came to your rov and you said, Rebbe, I did an avera. Happens sometimes. Who knows? I've done an avera. And the rov would say, nothing you can do. Sorry, too bad. You have to go to Gehenna. If there was no parasha of tshuva, that would be the din. He says, I'm sorry, can't help you. Maybe in the times of this Hamikdash, for a shogig, you can bring a korban, but nowadays, maybe you learn the parasha of God, but otherwise there's no help to you. If that was it, you'd say, okay, so I'm going to do it again tomorrow. No. One's the past, one's the future. Now that we do have a sugi of tshuva, we have to split the two. And getting back to Tekiyas Shofar, that's what the Beis Yosef is telling us. When Klal Yisrael did the Egel, the first time Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, they had two problems to deal with. One was, the Rebbe Shem said, if you served the Egel, you served Avodah Zarah so soon after Matan Torah, I'm wiping them out, that's it, no more Klal Yisrael. And for that, them as we were hopeless and helpless, we couldn't solve our own problem, and we needed Moshe Rabbeinu, and Baruch Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was going up the mountain, and he was going to speak to the Rebbe Shem and daven for us, and we hoped that he'd be able to be mechaper for the chet that we did on the past. That was one problem. There was another issue. Moshe Rabbeinu is going up again, and the Yetzer Hara is going to come a second time and try and get us to serve Avodah Zarah in Moshe Rabbeinu's absence. And for that, Klal Yisrael blew shofar. Shelo yechtu oid. Shofar tells you, wake up. Stop. Don't mess up your life. Keep on the straight and narrow. Don't make mistakes. The future. But the Beis Yosef HaChiddush, that the Torah is bringing another pasuk to tell us that the shofar doesn't just tell us to straighten out. The shofar also tells us to look backwards and try and be mistaken what happened in the past, not just what happened in the future. That's the third of the posh of chat in Tekiyas Shofar. If we try and apply this to real life, in the chayda there's a grease in afkimin al alacha, and it's something that's very relevant, very lemaisa when it comes to the avoda we started today, the practical avoda of tshuva. We started with slichas, or we say shamnu, or gadnu, gazalnu. We're actually doing tshuva, and it goes all the way through. This increases. So we get to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, Yid stands in front of the Rebbe Shlalem, and we go through every one of our chatoim, and we do tshuva, and we have charata, and that's our avodah. Which is our ikar tshuva? Is the ikar tshuva the Meshech Chochmas tshuva? Making sure that we don't do it again, sorting out our future? Or is our ikar tshuva cleaning up the issues of the past? And I think, as everyone always says, it depends which avodah. Is Taka two types of Averis. We all have Averis that are one-offs. We know it's wrong. It's mamash, if I'd ask you, would you ever do that? He'd say, Chas v'shalom, not me. But the guy was stuck, and he was starving hungry, and he thought maybe he saw something that was similar to a Hechsho, maybe he once heard that he could be kosher. He's not sure, and it's the only food he has, and who knows when he's going to get something else to eat. And a massive milchemes ayet, and he tries to fight it. He gives in the end and he eats it. How does he feel? Awful. These one-offs are characterized by a struggle beforehand and guilt afterwards. And you can see there's all types of avodas that can happen, but they're one-offs. When a guy's caught up with something and he doesn't go to Shachar Shabbos. Imagine something comes through the door and he reads it and he gets involved, and next thing you know, his mitzvah is too late, he's too embarrassed to go, and he's down to home. It feels like a shmata. It feels awful. Is he worried in that case that maybe it'll happen again? He knows, chas v'shalom, he feels so bad, he goes through a whole week of guilt. A person cheats somebody else. He lies. Straight out lies to somebody he knows. It came out, and before he knew it, he said it. It feels terrible. There's a struggle, the Shas Meisah. There's guilt afterwards, and that ensures that chances are I will not do that again. And I'm not worried that in Tashin Samach Tes I'm going to cheat anyone, I'm going to miss Shabbat Shachris, I'm going to eat treif. That's not my issue. What's the Shiloh? There's dirt on my neshama. And I come to Yom Kippur, and I say, Rabbeinu Shalom, what am I going to do with that? Please, slach lonu, v'chal lonu, kapel lonu, Rabbeinu Shalom, only you can clean my neshama. Please, take away that lichluch that I've made in the past, because otherwise, it'll affect my future, baruchnis, begashmis, and noel ma'bo. But that's why we need tshuva. And there, tshuva is very relevant, because we're looking at the past. But some of us might have another type of avera. Avera is where there's no struggle, and avera is where, unfortunately, there's very little guilt. Certain types of lashon hara. You know, there's a lashon hara that we all know is wicked. You know that it's actually not necessary, and you know you're burying the guy alive, and you know that you don't gain anything from it. And the fault is a struggle, and you fall in and you say lashon hara. But there's a lot of lashon haras that we don't think twice about. It's just part of life. You know, but it's the while we're schmoozing, you know, things come up, and you know, well, I'm not half time, so but lashon hara. That's fine during the year. And it's fine that all sorts of lies and fibs and cheppers, and we hurt people's feelings. During the year, we don't even notice these things. The fact that we're not mechavan and davening as we should maybe, or that brachas are said without kavana, though hardly said. The words come out, we're not even sure whether to pronounce the bracha or not. All those normal averus that plague every yid, is not sure he gives tzedakah as he should, is not sure he learns Torah as he should. You know, there's always a plan to learn so much, and somehow it's just not happening. But because of the rush of day-to-day life, because of the stress of day-to-day life, we don't even notice that we're doing anything wrong. So there's no struggle, and there's no guilt. So when do we wake up and have done something wrong? On Yom Kippur. Begasar Esmei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, all of a sudden we have, and what are we here for? We're not here forever. We're halfway through life, at least. There's only half left, and the first half went so fast. Then look, it's a black duch garnished. What am I going to do? When am I going to sort out these problems? Is this a way to live? Is this what I planned? Is this what I hoped my life would look like? Is this the type of father I want to be? Is this the type of husband I want to be? Is this the type of yid I want to be? This is what my tefillah to look like? This is what I want my davening to look like? That's called tzedakah. That's called chesed. I'm just not what I want to be. We wake up and we have such a tremendous charata at that point that we want to do a gevaldige end to the tshuva. And the problem is that there, the issue is not all those averus of the past. Have a far more significant problem tomorrow, the day after. So what am I going to do now, Yom Kippur? I'm going to be mekabel never, ever, ever to do it again. And 100% it's true, I can never, ever, ever will do it again on Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur would last the rest of the year, I'd be fine. But every year after Yom Kippur comes the Machlis Yom HaKippurim, and after Machlis Yom HaKippurim comes the Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and next thing you know is Chanukah. Well, Yom Kippur? That's history. We don't have that clarity the rest of the year. So our issue is never mind the past. My issue is the tomorrow. What am I going to do? How do I know I won't crash again? The guy, and there, in that level, in that type of avera, the shogegim, the own sin, the ones that we don't even realize we're doing, there to say, Oy Rabbeinu Shalom, please, slach lonu, mechal lonu, kapel lonu, look what I've done in the past. It's a joke, and we know it's a joke. The past is your issue. The future is the issue. It's like this fellow with the watches coming out. He's been given a job to produce watches, and out of 50 that are produced today, five are messed up. So he has his meeting with the boss, and the boss says, "No, how's it going?" He says, "It's going, Baruch Hashem, very well. It's going fine. I just need a little help." "Now, what do you need?" He says, "I need someone to repair some of my broken watches." That's your issue. Those five watches are your issue. You don't need help repairing those five watches. That's the smallest of your problems. What you need help is to make sure that you learn to run the machinery, that you learn how to put the pieces in, that next time, tomorrow, they'll all come out okay. You're worried about the past? What about the future? It makes almost an itzonus of our Yom Kippur. if in those issues, the issues where we're not managing, we're not coping with living up to our own standards, then the issue is not the past, the issue is the future. Is that the fellow who called the decorator in? So my house has been ripped completely, we had a leak upstairs, and Taka, he comes around and he sees a good fella, the plaster's come down, the tiles of a wet plaster, or the room's completely covered, a rip. And he sits down with the balabas and he says, listen, you know, it's going to take time, we're going to have to take off all the old plaster, we're going to have to redo it, and they talk about what colour scheme he wants, and how much he wants the roof redone, and the sides redone, and out to the sudden, and they work out a price. And on his way out, the decorator turns to him and says, I keep hearing this noise of water, what is that? He says, yeah, that's the leak that made all this happen. He says, you haven't fixed it yet. He says, no, we'll take care of it sometime. Shit of Shemela. You need a decorator. You need a plumber. You've got to stop the leak before you start worrying about the damage of the leak. So we're worried about, oh, vision, we did have Averis last year. That's the smallest of your problems. The problem is that you're still leaking. So in those Averis, the Chira, what we need is the Meshech Chochma type of tshuva, the practical tshuva, the one that deals with the future. And it means that the Emes, we can split our Veda of tshuva into the two parts of the Kol HaShofa. For those Averis that are one-offs, the Averis where there's a struggle and guilt, the Averis where we're only worried about the history, about what we did in the past, for those we need the Sugya of Tshuva. And as Rabbeinu Yonah says, that type of Avera one starts with Charota, and a deep Charota ultimately brings a person also to strengthening in the Kabbalah Lava of the future. But the Averis where we're Shogeg, the Averis where the Lamaisidik Averis that we do all the time, everybody has their level of Averis, the Adam Dosh Be'akevoi. On those Averis, we can't start with Charota. Charota looks back. We first have to look forward. When we've solved the future, when we're confident we won't do it again, then we can look back and have Charota, and that can become a Chelik of our tshuva. And the problem is that there's no quick answers. The fundamental difference between the first type of tshuva and the second type of tshuva. For the one-offs, how long does it take to do tshuva? How long does it take to do tshuva? A person didn't have erev amazing. How long does it take to do tshuva? A couple of seconds. You wake up, you chat, charota, kabbalah alabo, mezak davidui, and you've done tshuva. But when it comes to a mitzvah on the osset, it comes to kavana and tefillah. Charota is a joke, because you haven't yet sorted the future. I don't mind the future, so I'm going to say, I'm going to be mechavan tomorrow. Wouldn't we get to mechavan tomorrow? If I wasn't mechavan today, why shouldn't we mechavan tomorrow? If I hardly even knew I was davening, I remember Baruch Shama, I remember Mizmor HaSoda, and next thing I knew was a volunteer. So in between there, you know, I didn't even struggle. I didn't even think about should I be mechavan or shouldn't I be mechavan. I can say that every time I struggle and I have an Yisrael, I'll overcome the Yisrael and I will be mechavan. But during that time, that was dead time. I'm not awake. A person goes to work. And he says, chas v'shalom, you know, a whole day I don't think about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yom Kippur is lifnei Hashem, the Ulti Torah is lifnei Hashem. So next year I'm going to think of the Ribbono Shel Olam much more. When I'm thinking, I'm ashamed, should I think about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Should I think about something else? Yes, I'll be boicheted to. But most of the day I'm not even thinking, I'm asleep. A guy who misses Krishna. He misses Krishna one morning, has tremendous charota. You can't have charota on something that you didn't choose to do. It's too bad. I was asleep at that point. I slept through the Man Krishna. I said, this Man Krishna was 9 o'clock, and I slept till 10. So when 9 o'clock came, I was comfortable. I was out. I was no mind. There was nobody to talk to. So I'm going to have charota next time. What's going to happen? Next time I'm going to be such a tzaddik. My neshama is going to wake me up on my own. These things don't happen. Not to me anyway. So what are we going to do about tshuva? And be'emes, it almost makes a mockery of tshuva on such a subject. Because tshuva by definition means that I did something wrong. If there's no bechira, if at the time I didn't choose between ra and toiv, I can't have charota. Can I have charota for your averus? I can't have charota for your averus, it's nothing to do with me. How can I have charota for an avera that I did without even knowing I was doing it? A person, Rachman, falls on Machal Shabbos, and he discovers suddenly that day is Machal Shabbos, a certain halacha he didn't know. Because he didn't realize it was Bira. He was pushing, helping the kids play, and he picked some of the toys out. Some toys had got confused, and the toys, they were spoiling the Lego, so they picked the Kapla out of the Lego. And Allah the writer of Bira Lechira. So he said, wow, Oive, Hashem Yirachma, I do this every week. So now he can do tshuva on the Abba, because he knows he's not going to do it again. But it occurs to him that maybe the Yaris Tavash was right. Maybe if the person doesn't learn Hilchos Shabbos, Yitaka doesn't know Hilchos Shabbos. To who knows how many other Averas of Hilchos Shabbos I'm doing. So what should he do? He should have Charotah on what? On all those Bechiras that he's doing. He doesn't even know what he's doing. If the person's a Shaygeit, how can he have Tshuva? Of course, the answer to this is dead simple, but exceptionally lamaisa. The person misses Krishna. Let's take him. So he says, what do you want of me, Rabbi Shalom? I'm an Einus. What do you think the Bezen Shamayla would respond? How they say, Taka, yeah, okay, no Einus for you. You were sleeping, nothing we could do. They tell him there's something called an alarm clock. You know, when you have to catch a flight, when you have to make an appointment, you set an alarm clock the night before, and if you think you might sleep through it, then you set the phone. If you're not sure that will work, you call up somebody, you say, please make sure that I wake up. If it's important to you, you're there. So the Bechira that led to that missing Krishna was the night before when he didn't set the alarm clock. He's going to say, it didn't occur to me. They'll say, you're right. So maybe there was no Bechira there. But had you gone to a Musa Shmuz the week before that, you probably would have chapped, and you probably would have been more in touch with Krishna, and you would have not missed Krishna. So the Bechira that led to the Krishna was not setting the alarm, it was missing the Shmuz, which may have been triggered by not following up with your Chavrusa, because when a person learns, he has Cheshik to go to Shmuz. And when he has Cheshik to go to Shmuz, you know, so that we have to find the root of the Averus. Often what we're doing is linked to the Bechira way back. The reason why I'm not being Mechavan in davening, I may be an onus on that. That's not the issue. My Bechira is not that. My Bechira is, well, why did I choose not to bother learning Pirush HaTfilah? Why did I not make a Cheshbon HaNefesh and search out what is it that's going to make me daven like a mensch? Make me serve the Rebbeinu Shlom like a mensch? Make me more sensitive milam chaveru? Maybe make me a better father, a better husband, a better yid? We have to get back to the source. And in order to do that, a person has to sit down with a pen and paper, write down his goals in life, long list of goals, break them up into practical goals, break them up into a third stage, into practical actions that he can do. At that stage, any reasonable person says, look, I can't deal with 100 issues. I can't deal with 30 issues. I can't even deal with 10. I better take the 5 that are most urgent, most important, and most practical. And he ends up with 5 issues that he's now going to act upon that will lead toward a more successful future. If he's done that, then he can say, Rebbeinu Shlom, I've done my best. If he hasn't, he's making a Bechira to continue with all those Averus. So the choice, the Bechira that we make in life, in relationship to our growth and to where we should be, is not the many, many, many little Bechiras when they're happening, because at that time we're down and out, we don't even know what we're doing. The Shoirish of those Bechiras is that we're making the Bechira to live with a Cheshbon or not to live with a Cheshbon, to learn Musa or not to learn Musa, to listen to tapes, not to listen to tapes. It's those Bechiras that are the root of most of our Averas. And the Mele Yid stands at Yom Kippur and hasn't made this Cheshbon, Taka feels like an absolute fool. He comes and says, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, look at what's happening to my life, it's terrible. And in the Ur of Yom Kippur, in the Lifnei Hashem, it's Taka Pachad, how can I live that way? And he feels a tremendous regret. Regret's the wrong word. He feels a tremendous frustration, sadness that his life looks the way it is. But regret? You can't regret something you didn't do. What should he regret? He should regret the lack of Cheshbon HaNefesh. So if we're going to be Reyes HaNoled, then we suddenly have a plan for Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. In Elul, a person takes out the time, as they did in the olden days, we can't do it without time, take half an hour, twice half an hour, one takes out the time and one writes up a Cheshbon HaNefesh and gets to the root of dealing with issues, just as one would with business. Let's set up a plan. And when we've got a plan, then we turn up Rosh Hashanah and we say, Rabbi Shalom, we hear that you're giving out jobs this year. You're seeing who you want to join to your team and who's not going to be part of the team. Rabbi Shalom, I have a plan. Please, give me another year. I need it because I have what to do. I have a malach. I have a chayim ahead of me. Please give me a year to achieve that which I want to do, to improve. And when one's finished with that, one comes to Yom Kippur, and it makes sense. You know, if a father sets up his son in business, and his son's a shlemazel, and he doesn't bother, and he messes up the business, but he isn't willing to take the precautions necessary, and the business is losing money, thousands of pounds, and he's in terrible debt. And it comes, Daddy, help! I've got so much debt. What does his father say? That's your issue. You've got so much debt.
Yes, you've messed up the business. Come to me with a 5-year plan of how you're going to improve it, how you're going to be making money. And then, when you say, I want to go further, but I'm saddled with debt. If you've got a plan, then we'll clean off your debt. You've got Rosh Hashanah, you came to the Rosh with a clear, practical plan. Then you can say, Yom Kippur, Slach Lono, Vinu, Slach Lono, Mechal Lono, Kapel Lono, and the Rosh Hashanah, Rachamav, Shetaki, clear our past, and enable us with that to move forward to a successful future.